The Colcliffs on RNIB Connect Radio.
I feel as though I've been here before. I seem to be spending my life moving beds about for you.
I don't want my bed downstairs. I'm happy as I am. It'll be in the way.
It can go back upstairs when weather starts getting warm again.
And who's going to move it back? Let me guess.
Stop blathering and get on with it.
All right. Where do you want it?
Over there, under the window.
No, it's best not have it again an outside wall. Put it over there instead, next to an inside wall. It'll be warmer. I'll go and get your bedding.
She's got it all thought out, you know, Uncle Bill.
Ah, women. They're all the same. They're never satisfied with things as they are. They're always wanting to move things round. My wife, bless her soul, who was just same.
Let's have that table over there for a change. let's move that armchair over there.
I like to have things in one place, and that's that.
Well, perhaps this is a bit different. After all, my granny's...
No, between me and thee, lad, I can't abide that woman. Interfering, bossing everybody about, sticking her nose into other folks' business.
It's for your own good, though. She's only thinking about your good.
My best good is keeping me independence. Telling me where for sleep, asking questions about me underpants. He'll be telling me what for eat next.
Here's your bedding.
Oh.
I've been thinking, Bill. You ought to go to one of them luncheon clubs.
What did I tell thee?
It's very important to have a proper cooked meal every day.
I've had a proper cooked meal every day. I cook it myself.
I need to be company. You need company.
What I need is me independence. I want to eat what I like and when I like.
I was only suggesting. Because they're very good, these luncheon clubs.
Ah, they may be all right in one sense. I tried one once. I'm not saying food wasn't very good, because it was. But they wouldn't have Shakespeare. Told me I couldn't bring him in. Well, I'm not leaving Shakespeare on his own right through the middle of the day, and that's that.
You and that dog. Well, if you wanna go to a luncheon club, you could get meals on wheels. Social services will tell you how to go about it.
Look, while you two are arguing about food, I'm missing my lunch. I've got to get back to the garage double quick. Is there anything else you want me to do first?
Oh, why? You mustn't go till you've helped me put this curtain rail up over his front door.
Oh, come on then, quick. Show me where you want it.
You do love me though, don't you, Sybil?
Don't I keep telling you? Of course I love you, Peter. Except it seems funny.
Funny?
Well, living with a man and not doing anything. I mean, goodness knows what the neighbours think, and it's only a matter of time before it gets back to me mam. But there's nowt happening. I mean, my reputation will be in tatters and I'm as pure as driven snow. Seems a waste.
Oh, it's not what I want, Sib. God knows.
I mean, all I ever get is hug. It's not much to go on, is it?
If you only knew what it's costing me.
Can I ask you something, Peter? You're not really gay, are you?
No, I'm not. And don't ever say that to me again.
Peter, leave go of me. That hurts. It's just... I mean, how did you get this HIV positive thing? Are you sure you didn't get it off another man? I've heard that sailors, when they're all together on a ship for a long time... But I wouldn't blame you.
How can you think such thoughts? I told you when we first met. I got it off a woman in New York.
That's all right then.
What difference does it make?
It does to me. I wouldn't want to be wasting my time altogether. You see, I'm already 23. I'm practically on shelf. I want to get married and have babies. All my friends have got married and had babies.
Well, we could get married. If that's what you want, I'll marry you, Sybil. I need you.
But it'd be a funny kind of marriage, wouldn't it? Sleeping in separate rooms. Oh... I wish Wendy were here.
What do you want that interfering bitch for?
Because she's my friend, that's what for. And don't you call her names.
Right, I think that's about it. You've got foam strip round your door frame, a curtain over your door, a sausage to go along the bottom, and bits of felt over your letterbox and your keel.
Bits of felt were my idea. Don't know you take credit for that.
You've got your loft insulated.
And that were my doing, I know.
All right, I'm not saying you haven't made a start.
A start?
And you've got plastic film stuck across your windows.
It's like being in an airtight space capsule, all stuck up with bits of plastic.
I think you're safe. It'll be a long while before they want you as an astronaut. But you're taking it all very well, considering. So I've brought you a present.
A present? Oh, I don't want no presents. What is it?
I've knitted them specially.
Knitted? No, I've got enough jumpers for what I need.
Knitted jumpers?
It in a long johns, knitted long johns, is it?
It's a nightcap and a pair of bed socks.
A nightcap? I look like old Scrooge in a nightcap.
What they say is you lose 20% of your body through your head.
I suppose that depends on how big your head is.
So you've got to keep your head warm, especially when you're a bit short of natural covering like you are.
Hey, but it's green. It won't suit me complexion.
Nobody's going to see you in it, are they?
Well, I don't know. Don't know you'll be too sure. There's life in the old dog yet.
Well, it wouldn't be me as sees you in it.
No, it wouldn't, because you haven't been asked.
Ah! All same, you might say thank you.
Ah, well, I'll say thank you, Connie Cartledge, because you put yourself through a lot of trouble. And there's one thing. If her across the road catches sight of me in me grain bed socks and me grain nightcap, it'll put her off me. It'll put her off me for good and all. Hey?
Oh, Mam, am I glad to be home. I'm tired out.
Here you are then, duck. Have a cup of tea as I've made you.
Oh, Tom.
We'll get something to eat later on.
Oh, we had this accident at work today. A woman fell and cut her arm open. Blood were gushing out. Oh, it was a terrible mess.
Oh, poor thing.
And there were no proper dressings. Nowhere we could put her. I had to bundle her up somehow and get her to the accident unit. And then I had to wait with her.
Well, I don't see why you had to do it. It's not your job. You're not paid for that.
No, but there were nobody else that knew any first aid. I said to the boss, if we had proper facilities at the factory, it was something I could have dealt with there and then.
You got to see boss then.
All right. We had to borrow one of the boss's cars and run her up the hospital. There were blood all over his back seat. Jay Reg as well. I must say, it made the point better than I could have done if I'd have written 50 lists of what were needed.
Who can that be, Rainey?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not expecting anybody.
Hello, Mrs. Colclough.
Sybil, what brings you here?
I wondered if you got a phone number for Wendy. I want to ring her up, have a chat, ask her advice about summit.
Well, you better come in. I've got a phone number somewhere. Now, what sort of advice you'll get from Wendy?
It's about me love life. Wendy knows all about love.
Oh, you can say that again.
Now, where'd I put that bit of paper?
Somebody at the back door, Rainey. Shall I go?
No, Mum, you stay sitting down. I'll go. Bryn, I thought I told you not to come round any more. And me mam's here and Sybil.
I know. That's why I've come.
What the... Where's Sybil? Where is she? I know she's here.
No, she's not, mate. And don't you come pushing your way into my house like that.
I know she's here. She fancies you, I can tell. Where have you hidden her?
Look, calm down. I've not seen Sybil since last week when you came back.
I don't believe you. Where is she?
Please yourself, but I've got no interest in Sybil. I've got my own love life and it doesn't include women.
Ah, she said you were gay. What's behind this door?
You're behaving like a maniac.
Out in there.
What makes you think she's come here?
She were after a phone number for the old Wendy.
Well, she hadn't come here for it because he hadn't got one. Now sling your hook.
Right. Sorry, mate. Mistake. I don't know what came over me.
Yeah, okay.
I've got a lot on my mind. See, a lot of pressure. She means a lot to me, does Sybil. If she went off with somebody else...
Aye, that's understood. But if you take my advice, you'll not be so quick to jump to conclusions next time. You might land yourself in trouble.
You see, Mrs. Cartledge, I'll never forget when my cat had that operation. How you looked after Blodwyn for us.
Used to take her out to the park every afternoon, didn't I? Bless her. She did like being on them swings, but I enjoyed it as much as she did.
I'd meant Kath could have a good rest every afternoon. I don't know how we would have managed without you. So, you see, I thought you'd like to look at the wedding photos.
I can't believe she's old enough to get married. Let's have a gander, then.
You'd better sit down.
Oh, ta. I'll pass them round. There, that's my Blodwyn in a wedding dress.
Oh, she's lovely. Isn't she just lovely?
She didn't get married in white, then?
No, she didn't seem to fancy it. A bit old-fashioned, she said.
I know what that meant in my young days.
Mother?
It's just beautiful, is that dress? And I love that colour. That's just the sort of wedding dress I'd like.
Colour's about right for her as well, from what I hear.
Mother?
That's Blodwyn and the bridesmaids.
Oh, aren't they sweet? Look at the little faces.
Who are they, Bryn?
Oh, Stuart's nieces.
I shall have my nieces as bridesmaids when I get married.
Is Stuart what Blodwyn's husband's called, then?
Yeah, that's right. Stuart Stark. This is Blodwyn and Stuart together.
My, he's a fine figure of a man.
He's very tall, Bryn.
Oh, aye, tall, well-built. Good looking.
I think he's gorgeous.
And rich, you know. Oh, he's got this string of restaurants. Blodwyn's fallen on her feet, all right. Yeah, done very well for herself.
You say he's got a string of restaurants?
Well, perhaps cafes would be more accurate. Beach cafes they are. He has this stretch of beach outside Sydney, and he's a kind of lifeguard and all that. There's a photo somewhere. Here, see? Lovely long stretch of beach.
Oh, very nice. I could just do with a holiday in a place like that.
Oh, I can just see myself stretched out on that sand in a little bikini.
Oh, the sea's very blue.
Oh, yeah, like paradise, Blodwyn tells me. Yeah, just like paradise.
I could be Eve out there, if I could find an Adam.
You'll be more likely to end up with a serpent, young woman.
Oh, is there snakes out there? I don't like snakes.
Oh, here's a photo of Stuart being the lifeguard.
Oh.
Oh, he could save my life any day.
Isn't he just smashing? Look at them biceps.
Oh, he's got a nice tan, I will say.
Makes me wish I were a few years younger.
What's it say on the back? Stewie showing off his muscles. Stewie?
Well, it's a daft name for him. Stuart's his proper name.
Look at his legs and his torso.
Oh, here's another of him and Blodwyn.
Stewie and me at the Barbie. What's the Barbie?
That's what they call a barbecue. Daft the way they talk sometimes.
Ooh, me legs have gone all wobbly just looking at his photo.
Oh, wait till you see him in the flesh then.
In the flesh?
Oh, did I tell you? Oh, they're coming home for Christmas. Blodwyn's coming home to see her old dad.
And he's coming as well.
Aye, of course he's coming as well.
Ooh, I've gone all funny.
You wouldn't be the only one as goes all funny. Wait till our Wendy sees this photo. I can just hear her. Gran, I know what I want for Christmas.
Your Blodwyn will have to watch out, Bryn. Tall, dark, handsome, tan, sexy and rich. What more could any girl want? When did you say they're coming?
Oh,
are you all right, Sybil?
I don't know. I think I'm falling in love again.
Today's episode of The Cold Cloths was written by Joyce Holliday. The serial was devised by Tony Perrin and is a Mike Hopwood production. The Cold Cloths return with another episode tomorrow.